Hi, everyone. Welcome to Smarter News. I'm Jenna, and I'm excited to talk to you today to answer one of your big news questions of the week. So every week when we start off Smarter News, I put up a question box, often on social media, and ask you, what news item are you most curious about? It's my way of trying to involve you in the editorial process. And sure, there are some stories that we're going to choose to cover over others. But when we can't answer some of your top questions, that's what I want to do as a news service. A news service is a public service. It's customer service. It's making sure you have the information you need to stay informed. And one of the big questions this week was about the city of Chicago. And many of you just asked it very simply, what is going on in Chicago? Now, sometimes I have some answers right away. Other times, I don't have any answers. And in this particular case, I was seeing exactly the same thing so many of you were seeing on social media, which was a chaotic scene out of one of America's most prominent cities. There were all sorts of different reports. There were reports of immigration raids. By the way, got to be careful with that term. What some call an immigration raid, others will call a law enforcement operation. But there's a lot of activity of federal officers on the ground related in some way to immigration. That's what the reports look like. There looked to be some protests, some active protests, some confrontation between law enforcement and the public. There was also reports of car accidents, a shooting that involves federal officers. I mean, it just seemed to be a very chaotic situation. And I was thinking about, well, what's the right way for us to find a way into this story? Sometimes you're looking for just that one open door that allows you to walk through it so you have a channel to talk about the bigger picture. And we actually got that yesterday, so Monday afternoon, with a press conference from the Chicago Superintendent of Police. This is a position that's very much like a police chief, although it's a different term in Chicago. And the name of the superintendent is Larry Snelling. And he took the microphone on Monday afternoon, and I just happened to hear him. And I thought, well, this might be a good way to get some more information. And it just proves that sometimes listening gets you exactly what you need, so then you can do other reporting. And that's what we're going to do today. So what I did is I'm using this press conference from Chicago to talk about some of these bigger picture items that are related to this local story that has now become a national story. So before I get to that press conference, just want to set the stage here a little bit. We know one of the major priorities of the Trump administration has been really twofold. I mean, it's underneath this big umbrella of national security, but you can divide it into two sort of pots, if you will. You have the Department of Homeland Security and the big prioritization on immigration. That includes border security, but also the enforcement of immigration laws. That's been a major priority of the Trump administration since he came into office in January. And then you have this other priority that really has to do with security on city streets. And that's been a big topic of conversation recently as President Trump mobilized the National Guard in Washington, D.C. and started talking about law and order and crime a lot more. Now, what's important about these two stories and the themes that we see arising wherever we're talking about these stories in the country, it doesn't have to be Chicago, is a tension between what's going on in a federal level, state level, and a local level. And we all got a really interesting experience in that, living through the pandemic. Because if I say to you, do you remember during the pandemic when your county maybe had different laws than the state, slightly different laws, and the state deferred to the county in certain ways, but then the state laws mattered in other ways. And then you had what was going on a federal level. All of this was underneath the guise of an emergency. And so you started to see that sometimes what was required of the public ran parallel to each other. Like it all kind of made sense. You know, what California State was doing, San Francisco was doing on a city level. But in other areas, sometimes these different ordinances or requirements or laws in some cases conflicted. And that has been an ongoing story in America since our founding. You know, where does the power of the federal government start and stop? Where does the power of the state start and stop? And what about you as an individual? And how do you fit into all of this? So, in a very big picture way, what we're seeing in Chicago, it's pulling on the threads of that story. And these are familiar themes, just looked at in a little different way. So let's go to Chicago. In Chicago, we have seen a lot of activity regarding immigration and law enforcement. The Department of Homeland Security and Immigration and Customs Enforcement has talked about Operation Midway Blitz. This is their efforts in Chicago to, they say, target really the worst of the worst and get the people that should not be in this country out of the country. This is the way that they're describing it. They say they had more than 800 arrests during this operation where they're focused on Chicago. This has angered the governor of Illinois, who has suggested that this is federal overreach. And as we're seeing, not only federal agents on the ground in Chicago regarding immigration, we're also starting to see or raise a question of, well, what about other federal officers on the ground, like the National Guard? You've seen that come up with whether it's Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, or elsewhere. The National Guard is interesting because depending on how the National Guard is used, it can be used as a federal force or it can be used in a state level. This is why you see the National Guard sometimes respond to, let's say, a flood in your state. But they can also be mobilized on behalf of the United States during a time of war, or they can be used by the president in different ways depending on the situation. So on the streets of Chicago, you're seeing some of this play out. You're seeing local law enforcement try to continue their job. You're seeing federal agents in a few different ways try to do their job. And then there's a question of, well, who's the top authority here? And what happens when maybe these different factions are not all on the same page? Or what happens if the governor of a state doesn't want federal forces in their state? Like, who's right here? And so this is what brings us to what happened this past weekend, where you had a lot of different tension, a lot of different scenarios discussed, and a question about, well, who do you defer to? The superintendent of the police force described this in a way when he had the microphone, this is before he took any questions, that I have yet to hear another official describe the tension between all of these things. And so, yes, I want to recognize we're approaching this story through the voice of the Chicago Police Department, which is going to have a very particular point of view. But I believe using that point of view will allow us to see other point of views in this situation and perhaps clarify a few of the different storylines that we're seeing play out in one of America's largest cities. So as the superintendent is talking in his first few minutes, he says this, and this is what really got my attention to maybe listen a little bit more carefully than I otherwise would have. Take a listen to what he has to say.
When a crime is being committed, CPD is going to show up. And it doesn't matter if there are ICE agents there, we have a duty to investigate and protect our city. Now, there are a lot of talking heads out there. There are a lot of politics being used here. And people are using this for their political talking points. Well, my offices are not political pawns. My leadership team, not political pawns. Their lives are too important to play politics with these men and women who face danger every single day. This is not a game. This is not a joke. This is still our city. And we still have a responsibility to maintain safety and calm in our city.
So you see why I sat up and took notice of that. I thought, okay, what politics are we talking about here? And who is he going to talk about specifically? Because we know there's a whole lot of politics floating around this very many topics that I just covered. So where is he going to go to next? Now, one of the things that he did is he gave an overview of the weekend through the eyes of the Chicago Police Department, talking about how his officers responded to a whole bunch of different calls, whether it was a report of someone being shot by a federal officer, responding to a protest that looked like it was evolving or devolving into a riot, the response of calls from the public because of concerns about safety. So he's walking us through what it looked like from the perspective of the police department. Clearly, he's being asked a lot of questions about the role of police. And one of the first things that he addresses is what the police cannot do, specifically in the city of Chicago and specifically in the state of Illinois, that other police forces around the country likewise cannot do, depending on where they're serving. So take a listen to what he says here, and then I'll explain a little bit more.
Let me first talk about the Trust Act. The Trust Act prohibits law enforcement in the state of Illinois from engaging in assisting federal agents when it comes to immigration enforcement. We abide by that law. The city ordinance, the welcoming city ordinance, goes a little further. It even prohibits us from asking someone their status. We abide by that ordinance. Because in law enforcement, we don't make the laws, we uphold them. And we're sworn to do so. And we take our oath seriously.
What he's describing there are certain laws in place in the state of Illinois and in the city of Chicago that are preventing law enforcement from really taking part in anything related to immigration enforcement. This is what we describe often as sanctuary states or sanctuary cities. Across the country, there are a variety of different areas that will have these laws that prevent local law enforcement from working in tandem with federal agents when it comes specifically to immigration. It doesn't mean that they can't collaborate on certain crimes, let's say human trafficking, for example, or sharing some intelligence related to something like that. But it does prevent, for example, let's look at the Trust Act. This was passed in 2017 in Illinois. It prevents local law enforcement from assisting generally, from assisting in the enforcement of federal civil immigration law. The Illinois Trust Act states that a law enforcement agency or official may not participate, support, or assist in any capacity with an immigration agent's enforcement operations. So here's a couple examples. So for example, the police cannot transfer any person into an immigration agent's custody, may not give any immigration agent access, including telephone, to any individual who is in the law enforcement agency's custody, may not permit immigration agents use of local law enforcement agency facilities or equipment, including the use of electronic databases not available to the public for any investigative or immigration enforcement purpose, and may not otherwise help federal agents conduct civil immigration enforcement operations. Now, we have to look at that terminology when it comes to civil. So this question about civil immigration law, when someone comes across the border and doesn't have legal status, they can be guilty both of a violation of civil law and criminal law. So in the event that there's a crime, you could potentially see more cooperation. But if you talk to police officers, they'll say, especially in these areas, they'll say there's no information sharing. So let's say they pull someone over for speeding or reckless driving, and the person doesn't have a license that shows that they're legally in this country, and they feel like perhaps this person's illegally in the country. They don't get to like make a call to an immigration officer to like come get this person. There is a separation there. Now, if it's involved in something like a larger crime, maybe there are ways that the local law enforcement can work in support of federal agencies, but it gets really tricky because of these particular laws. And this is a sanctuary law. So the state of Illinois has decided that this is what they believe as a state, that they are not going to step into this area, which they're deeming really about federal law enforcement rather than state law enforcement. They're saying that's up to the feds, it's not up to us. But then there's another layer in the city of Chicago, and that's the Welcoming City Ordinance. This was first passed in the early 2000s, but further refined in 2012. And this prohibits any city employee, so that includes a police officer, from asking about or assisting in the investigation of the immigration status of anyone unless ordered to do so by court or federal law. It prevents city services from being denied to anyone on the basis of their immigration status. It prohibits the Chicago Police Department from participating in or cooperating with federal civil immigration enforcement unless they are required to do so by court or federal law. So this is how sanctuary cities and states are set up. It's really, I solved a big snack problem in our household in a very simple way. My children love eating berries, and so do I, for not just the taste, but the vitamins and nutrients, fiber, all the good stuff we want on a regular basis. The problem? We all know what it's like to pick up a berry we just bought and it's already growing fuzz in the fridge. So I've switched to buying frozen berries. And a favorite I look for now is Washington red raspberries. Did you know 90% of frozen red raspberries in the United States are grown in Washington Washington State, and mostly grown on family farms who harvest them during peak ripeness and clean and freeze on location, sealing in all that freshness, taste, and great nutritional value. So now I use frozen raspberries in our yogurt or smoothies as a sweet treat, and I love that this means I can support local American farmers and have a healthy snack for my family that withstands the test of time. You can find Washington Red Raspberries at your local grocery store or Costco. And how do you know you're getting the good stuff? Well, you just take a peek at the packaging and look for product of the U.S., and then you'll know you're on the right path. Oh, and if you want some fun recipes and more information, go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. And you're going to find recipes, health tips, retail locations, everything you need to make frozen Washington Red Raspberries a regular part of your routine. Overall, it's just a smarter choice. Separating local law enforcement from anything regarding immigration. So you can see how this can be tricky, especially if you're a law enforcement officer on the ground. And let's say you show up to a crime scene, an alleged crime scene, and there is a federal agent there, and there is a person that lives, a resident of Chicago. Like, how do you navigate that? What do you do? Whose side are you on? How do you work together? This is something that the superintendent addressed, and I want to play a little bit of this sound now as he's speaking more to the public and some of the behavior that he saw from the public this past weekend.
Federal agents, ICE, HSI.
HSI is Homeland Security Investigators or Investigations.
Are officers. They are agents of law enforcement. If you box them in with vehicles, it is reasonable for them to believe that they are being ambushed and that this could end in a deadly situation. And it's reasonable for them to use force based on those conditions. Do not box in any law enforcement officer. You are breaking the law when you do that.
The reason why I'm stopping it here is there was a situation that's being described as someone crashing into what was marked as federal law enforcement, a federal law enforcement vehicle. You're going to get a different perspective on that in just a moment. But according to one report, a person drove into this vehicle and the officers exchanged fire, or they fired at this person with a, you know, used a gun to fire at this person and struck this person. The police responded, took that person to the hospital. What we now know is that person is facing other charges, but just want you to know what he's talking about there. He's actually describing a situation that reportedly, allegedly unfolded in Chicago this weekend.
And you are putting yourself in danger. Following law enforcement agents around. The question is why? What do you plan on doing? It's also reasonable for them to believe that you're eventually going to do harm to them. If you ram any vehicle, especially that one that contains law enforcement agents, and that's any law enforcement, local, state, federal, county, and you do this intentionally, this is considered deadly force. Deadly force is anything that can cause great bodily harm or death. When you plow into a vehicle that contains law enforcement agents, you're using deadly force. And they can use deadly force in response to stop you. We need to be clear about these laws. We cannot become a society where we just decide to take everything in our own hands and start to commit crimes against law enforcement. It is a crime. You may not like what they're doing. I can understand that there's a lot of emotions out there, but that does not mean that you get to commit a crime, especially one that could lead to deadly force. We need to keep everyone safe.
This was very important what he said there. So notice, he said very clearly, the police department's not going to enforce federal immigration law. We're not going to help. We can't. That's against the law. We don't make the law. We're not going to be doing that. So don't expect it. We're not joining forces with these guys. However, did you see how he talked overall about law enforcement? He's like county law enforcement, local law enforcement, federal law enforcement. You as a citizen cannot aggressively approach these different law enforcement officers and not expect a reaction. And but the case that he's describing is he's saying this is also allowed where law enforcement is able to defend themselves. And if they believe that deadly force is being used against them and they're worried about their own lives, they can also use deadly force. So he's clarifying that. He's saying, I'm not going to step in and enforce federal immigration law. But also, by the way, you don't get to just commit a crime and have the Chicago Police Department stand by. And we should say allegedly commit a crime. Just so we have the variety of perspectives, I did pull this from the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights, Brighton Park Neighborhood Council, and the Southwest Rapid Response Team. They're a group of advocates that are working against what they say is against an overreach by the federal government. And so I'm pulling part of their statement from this weekend so you get a different perspective, because they're saying, wait a minute, it's not the people that are doing this to federal law enforcement. The federal law enforcement are doing this to innocent people. So here's what they said. Shooting guns at community members, crashing into civilian vehicles, detaining U.S. citizens, refusing to present warrants, racially profiling community members, and wantonly causing chaos are among the tactics used by Trump's henchmen today, and have been used for the past weeks on areas across Chicagoland. So they're saying, listen, it's the local people that are being violated, whose rights are being violated, and it's the federal law enforcement that's violating the law. And so the police superintendent addresses this, because the next question would be like, okay, wait a minute. So if federal law enforcement is violating the law, then can local police step in and arrest federal law enforcement? How does that work?
Our responsibilities when it comes to federal agents, and I've been asked these questions, we do not interfere with the duties and responsibilities of federal agents. We don't have to agree with it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to agree with it. We do not interfere with their orders. And when they go out to carry out their orders, they will do that the way that they're trained to do it and their understanding of what it is they have to do. Another one. CPD will not arrest and cannot arrest federal agents because someone deems what they're doing is illegal or unlawful. Their rules of engagement are different from CPD and other local law enforcement agents. We need to be clear about this. If we're not clear about this, we will see another event like we saw Saturday. We cannot move like this in this city. If we want to keep the peace in this city, we need to be smart about how we do things. And attacking law enforcement under any circumstances is not safe for anyone.
So here we see him cover a couple different points, and he finishes up here before he takes some questions. A lot of them were specific to Chicago and what happened over the weekend and how the police operated. And many times he was saying that there was going to be a debrief to understand what they could have done better in this evolving situation. But he was very clear there. Not only do they not enforce federal immigration law, but they're not going to step in and interrupt what these federal agencies deem appropriate and legal for them to do. So the police department can be present, but they're not going to step in if they see someone arrested and wonder, well, are they arresting that person in the right way? Is that according to U.S. law? That's something that they're not able to do. They are able to bear witness. They are able to write reports. They're able to assist if there's someone hurt or there's someone injured or somebody needs to be taken to the hospital. They can assist in all these different ways, but they're not going to turn around and arrest a federal law enforcement officer. Just as he said, they're not there to interfere. So the local police, because of these sanctuary laws in the state and the city, cannot enforce immigration law. They're not going to interfere in the application of immigration law, but they will uphold the law in the city when it comes to law and order, basic things. You know, if you're using a car, for example, as a deadly weapon, they can step in there and arrest somebody. But it's tricky. And you can see the sort of situation that they're in where he's trying to explain what local police can do and what they cannot do and how they're trying to keep the city safe. So this gives you an idea of just how difficult these stories can be, because you have a lot of different perspectives. You have the perspective from the federal agent, let's say they work for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and how they're carrying out their operation. You have the perspective from the public, maybe even an advocate for immigrants, who says this is overstepping what's actually allowed by the law. And I'm looking to call my local law enforcement to help in this situation. But local law enforcement saying, we cannot be part really of any sort of immigration law enforcement or interference in operations, because that's not where our power lies. We just have to keep the peace on the streets. So how do all of these different point of views come together? It's a very difficult thing to do. So if you're looking at this and it seems chaotic, it's because it is. And we're being tested in a way that we have been tested before as a country. Just to finish up here, I want to share with you a comment from U.S. District Judge Karen Emmergut. She was actually appointed by President Trump. So oftentimes we make note of that, because if someone rules in favor of the administration, we'll say, oh, well, that was a Trump appointee. So maybe she has more sympathies towards the Trump administration. If they were, for example, a Biden appointee and they ruled against the Trump administration, we could say, well, that's someone that was more in line with the Democrats. Judges will often say they're there to view the law as they see and how it applies, and it doesn't matter how they were appointed. I'll leave it up to you to decide whether or not you think that's a factor. In this particular case, she issued a temporary restraining order against the Trump administration. So she was appointed by the Trump administration, but she ruled an order against the Trump administration when it came to, comes to the National Guard in Portland, Oregon. So different city, but very much similar issues. And one of the things that she says here is that the case involves three fundamental democratic principles. I'm reading here from her statement. The relationship between the federal government and the states, between the military and domestic law enforcement, and the balance of powers between the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government. Whether we choose to follow what the Constitution mandates with respect to these three relationships goes to the heart of what it means to live under the rule of law in the United States. So what we're seeing here, as we're watching a situation like this evolve in Portland, Oregon, or we're seeing a situation like this evolve in Chicago, is now the courts are getting involved. And we don't have the same rapid response that we get on the ground. You know, we're watching things play out almost live on social media, and you see the tension between these different agencies and between different people and different politicians. It's very immediate. The courts are not as immediate. And they're going to be now ruling on some of these cases. Some of them are going to be, as we saw here in this case in Portland, Oregon, a temporary restraining order, which is something that's finite. It's only until October 18th, and the courts are going to take a closer look at this issue. We could see this story evolve on the legal side, and a question of, well, do we see these cases mature enough where there's the appeal process that could even lead us to the Supreme Court? And could we actually see that sort of unexpectedly within this first year of the Trump administration, about what the federal government can and cannot do on a local level when it comes to immigration, but also law and order? So some really big questions here. We don't have all the answers, but I hope this was helpful in listening to the Chicago Police Department superintendent explain the nuances of this and how it's not easy. He is threading the needle. What can he do? What can he not do? What does law allow? What does it not allow? And for private citizens, what laws do they need to follow? And it's a lot. It's a lot to sort through. So hope this was helpful to you. It answers a little bit of the question, what's happening in Chicago? A lot's happening. Intention on a lot of different levels here between different agencies, but really an old story that's in a new way, being told in a new way. What is the power of the federal government? What's the power of the state? What's the power of the local government? And what about the rights and power of the individual? And that story is as old as the foundation of the United States of America. So I look forward to your questions, comments, thoughts. You can always email me, hello@smarternews.com. Let me know what stories you'd like us to cover, take a closer look at. We'll be watching what's happening in Chicago and a whole host of other stories that are evolving around the country and around the world this week. But thank you for your support of Quick Insights, Nonpartisan, Smarter News. I'll see you with more on smarternews.com. Have a great day, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.